Thank you, praise team, for leading us in praise of God. Let us continue to worship the Lord as we turn to him in prayer. Would you join me in prayer? Lord God, we do worship you. Great is your name, Lord. We lift up your name up on high, God. There is no other name which is greater than your name and the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord. God, we acknowledge that you are holy, that you are God Almighty, that you are sovereign, that you are greater than anything that we have seen or heard or experienced, Lord. God, we come to you, Lord, in our frailty. We come to you in our loneliness. We come to you in our weariness, in our fears, in our concerns, and in our isolations. Lord, we come to you, Lord, with heavy hearts, with what's going on in this world. God, it just reminds us, Lord, that we are sinful people who are in need of you, of your healing, of your salvation, of your deliverance, God. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, who you've given, Lord, to redeem us from the pit, Lord. Father God, we ask, Lord, that you would continue to work in us and through us and amongst us, Lord God, to further your kingdom in this world, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you would continue to advance your justice, Lord. We pray, Lord, for just the unrest, Lord, whether it be in Hong Kong or Minnesota, Lord, that you would bring about your peace, your shalom, Lord, that you would bring about healing to hurting, Lord. We pray, Lord, for those who are grieving, Lord, that you would comfort them, Lord. We pray, Lord, for those who are struggling financially, Lord, that you would show yourself to be the one who provides, Lord. God, we pray for those who are lonely to know, Lord, that you are God who is near, God who is present. God, we pray for those of us who are struggling with infirmities or health concerns, Lord, that you are God who heals. And God, we pray for those of us who are tired and weary, Lord, that you would remind us and show yourself to be the God of unlimited power and of mercy and of grace. God, we give you thanks that you are the God whom we worship. For it's in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Let us now turn to the holy word of God. Today's scripture passage comes out of Philippians chapter 1, verse 12 to 18. It reads, "Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does that matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice." This is God's holy word. What brings you great joy? Or what would bring you great joy? Vacationing with family, perhaps? Spending time with your kids? Eating good food? Playing games all day? Or shopping and finding a great deal? How about falling in love? Or hearing a favorite song on the radio? Or taking a bubble bath? Having good conversation, perhaps, would bring you joy? Walking along the beach? Or hanging out with friends? How about making chocolate chip cookies and eating the dough before you make it? How about watching a sunrise or a sunset? Or feeling well after you've been sick? Or having money left over after paying all the bills? Or going through the day without any physical pain? Or perhaps as simple as holding a baby and seeing the baby smile? Is that what brings you great joy? You know, maybe for some of us at this time in this season, we're having trouble experiencing joy. Maybe we're too concerned with the pandemic and concerned about financial worries or the health of loved ones or about the riots that are going on. Or you're experiencing arguments with family members or you're feeling lonely or disconnected or you're concerned about the future. And joy is something that is not on your mind or on your heart right now. It can be difficult to find joy in our current situation. But what if we can still experience joy when our circumstances are less than ideal? As we continue in our Enduring Joy preaching series through the book of Philippians, today we will discover what brought the Apostle Paul joy, great joy, and rejoicing. Where did Paul find his joy? Well, Paul found his joy in the advancement of the gospel, even through adversity. Verse 12 says, "Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel." You see, Paul speaks affectionately, calling the Philippians his brothers and sisters, his spiritual family members. He wants them to know, to recognize, and to perceive what has happened to him and its outcome. So what has happened to Paul? What is he referring to here? Paul was writing this letter from Rome during his first Roman imprisonment. He was under house arrest, but he did have some freedom to entertain friends and guests and to write letters. What has happened to Paul? Perhaps he may also be referring to all the events from his imprisonment at Jerusalem through his imprisonment at Rome. He endured a great riot in Jerusalem, the two-year imprisonment at Caesarea, the appeal to Caesar, the threat on his life, the trip to Rome with its shipwreck, and now his restricted freedom under house arrest and his upcoming impending trial. Paul has faced much adversities, much difficulties, much challenges, but regardless of his circumstances, Paul sees and recognizes a greater outcome. Even with what Paul has and is enduring, he acknowledges that it is serving to advance the gospel. This word for advancement basically can be translated literally in front of, cut, chop down. It basically means advancement by chopping down whatever impedes progress, furtherance. You see, for the believer, this means going forward in sanctification, cutting through obstacles by the Lord's power. Basically, this word is used in antiquity of pioneers and armies clearing away, chopping down forests in order to reach their destination. You see, Paul's hardships and adversities are being cut through to reach the destination of the greater purpose. Paul's imprisonment was bringing about the furthering advancement of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Why does he believe this? Well, in verse 13, he continues. It says, as a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. You see, it's clear, it's apparent, it's visible, it's manifest to the praetorium, he says. That's what the Greek says. This could refer to a place or a people, but in this particular context, he's referring more to a people. In particular, the elite imperial guards of the emperor. The whole palace guard, and most likely the Roman governor overseeing them. He has become a visible testimony to the whole palace guards, to these non-believers. Although Paul did not claim that the people were converted, he did claim that they heard his message. Paul made it clear to them that he wasn't unwillingly chained under Roman rule, but rather he was willingly chained for Christ, he says. Paul saw a greater purpose and meaning for his imprisonment. Continuing in verse 14, "And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear." Another result of Paul's imprisonment was that the believers had become more confident to share the gospel. Other Christians were now more bold in sharing it. They're not sitting around gripped by fear. They are emboldened to go and to share the gospel because of the example and the faith of Paul. You see, Paul's focus is on the advancement of the gospel. Paul focuses more on furthering the gospel than on furthering his release from prison. What kind of advancement, progress, or furthering are you looking forward to? Maybe you are desiring to advance in your career or progress in your relationship or improve your grades or improve your gaming skills or, you know, completing another TikTok challenge. I don't know what it is. But Paul desired to further and advance the good news of Jesus Christ. I like how a Christian professor, a Christian Melick, states, quote, "Paul therefore saw the events in reference to him being in prison as forging new territory for the gospel. They took Paul into contact with a select group of people, soldiers and Roman officials who otherwise would have had no relationship to him. And they also prompted a renewed evangelistic effort in the city. While others may have seen the end of missionary activity, Paul saw the new ways the gospel could advance. The events which seemed to inhibit the freedom of the gospel became its springboard. Paul did not say in spite of these events, but rather through them." There was a note of sacrifice here. Paul's private concerns did not matter. The gospel did. End quote. So continue, where else did Paul find his joy? He found it in the priority of the preaching of Christ. He found it in the priority of the preaching of Christ. In verse 15, it says, it is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. Paul clarifies and confirms with the Philippians what they may have heard, that some preachers have different motives and reasons for their preaching. Some are venturing out boldly to preach about Christ, but with differing motives. Some preached out of envy and rivalry. Basically, translates as a grudge or spite, and the word rivalry can be translated contention or wrangling or strife. Some were preaching with that intention. Others were preaching out of goodwill, which basically means favor or good pleasure or delight. They had differing motives. Continuing in verse 16, Paul says, the latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. Different motives, different intentions. Some of them preached out of goodwill. The ones who were preaching out of goodwill were doing so out of love, Paul says. They understood and knew that Paul's intention in his heart was to provide a reasoned defense of the gospel and that he was put there. As Paul says, the word put here conveys purpose and meaning. It was no accident, Paul believes, that he was in prison. Basically, he's trying to convey that Paul really was a prisoner for the sake of Christ. Continue in verse 17, it says, the former preached Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. You see, those who preach out of envy and rivalry, they were preaching out of selfish ambition, Paul points out. They were thinking more about themselves. They were not sincere. Basically, again, their motives were not pure, which he expounds on later. That they're trying to cause trouble. Some preach out of good intentions toward Paul, while others preach out of bad intentions. Selfishly wishing and wanting to add more distress, more afflictions upon Paul, even while he is in chains. Verse 18, it says, but what does it matter? What does it matter? The important thing, he says, is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. As already stated, some are not preaching sincerely with false motives, which false motives basically means a pretense, an excuse, an outward showing. It's not consistent. What is on the outside is not consistent in the inside. It's opposed to those who are true, he says, those who preach out of goodwill and love. They had differing motives of preaching, whether it be insincere, false motives, or true. But Paul has said, what does it matter? The most important thing for Paul is that Christ is being preached. Paul doesn't mind their motives as long as the good news of Jesus Christ is being proclaimed. For him, the message is more important than the motives. It's important to note that Paul doesn't say that they have a false message, but rather a false motive. Paul refers to those who are preaching with false motives as if they are fellow believers. Their core message of Jesus Christ and the good news he brings is the same, but their motive differs. Their motives and intentions might be off a little bit, but the outcome and result of Christ being proclaimed is Paul's priority. This is a good reminder for us. Let's not get caught up fighting over how to do ministry while forgetting the actual proclamation of the good news of Jesus Christ. Yes, let's have sound theology and doctrine. Yes, let's strive for good and pure intentions. Let's aim for biblically faithful methods of ministry. But let's not forget the greater priority of proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and his advancing kingdom. He continues in verse 18, and because of this, I rejoice. Yes, I continue to rejoice. Paul rejoices, even in chains. He rejoices. He actually, his use of repetition of the word rejoice serves as a transition also, providing another reason for Paul's joy, which is his own anticipation of success in the trial that lay before him, which we find in the verses coming later. You see, Paul sees that the result of his imprisonment wasn't restricted freedom, wasn't injustice, wasn't anger, wasn't boredom, wasn't sadness, but rather an avenue for the gospel to be advanced for God's greater glory. Rather than complain about his circumstances, Paul recognized that all events could be redeemed for the Lord's sake. And he took that advantage that he can continue his mission. The primary concern was that the gospel go forward. This happened through adverse circumstances. But as long as it happened, Paul could be joyful. So to summarize, where did Paul find his joy? He found it in the gospel advancement, even through adversity. He also found it in the priority of the preaching of Christ. So in the midst of Paul's imprisonment, his struggles, his challenges, his seeming limitation, he abounds in joy because of the advancement and the preaching and the furthering of the gospel of Jesus Christ. His joy is based on the gospel and the hope and the trust of his deliverance. Is Christ being preached and proclaimed? That was Paul's desire and mission. So regardless of his circumstances or situation, he measured his joy from this perspective. Therefore, he was full of joy despite being in prison. I'd like to ask you all this morning, would you prefer something limited or something lasting? Earthly and worldly joy is based on our circumstances and is limited. Eternal joy comes from Jesus Christ and is lasting. Earthly joy is the limited result of our circumstances and situations. Eternal joy is the lasting result of what Jesus Christ shares with us and grows in us. It begins by us first repenting of our sins and responding in faith to God who sent his son Jesus Christ to die for our sins. He came to save us. He did not want for us to perish. He loves us with an everlasting love and desires for us to be in a relationship with us. As followers of Jesus Christ, our joy is then made more complete and mature as we continue to fellowship and abide with the Holy Spirit to worship God and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. This is where our lasting joy comes from. So can our current circumstances still be used by God to further his greater kingdom, even today in the midst of our pandemic? There's an article from Christianity Today that states, millions of worried people have turned to Google with their anxiety over COVID-19. They have ended up connecting with Christian evangelists in their search, leading to a spike in online conversions in March. In the Philippines, a woman named Grace found herself on a website about coronavirus fear hosted by the internet evangelism organization Global Media Outreach. "Please help me not to worry about everything," she wrote in a chat with a volunteer counselor. "What's happening now is very confusing." The counselor explained that only Jesus can bring lasting peace, and Grace received Jesus Christ as her Savior. Back in the U.S., a volunteer at the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association chatted online with a young mother named Brittany who worried that COVID-19 would take her life and her children's lives. The volunteer offered hope and peace, and Brittany too accepted Christ. The good news of Jesus Christ continues to advance through a worldwide pandemic. You see, the gospel cannot be quarantined. Paul saw he was put here for a greater purpose of defending the gospel. What about you? Why are you put here? Why are we put here in the current midst of challenges and hardships? None of us are in prison. Though some of us might feel like being safer at home, it feels like we're being under house arrest. Maybe you're bored, isolated, struggling with cabin fever, wondering why God, struggling with racial injustice on the news or global health issues or financial crisis. Paul was a blessing to the guards and to the believers and non-believers alike. Has God given you a greater opportunity to be a blessing to those around you, whether it be family members, neighbors, delivery people, grocery store workers? Who are the believers and non-believers God has placed around you and in your life for you to share the gospel with? So we can sit around, moping around, complaining, angry and frustrated at God for this pandemic, stuck at home, or we can seize the great opportunity that God has before us to partner in advancing his gospel and his kingdom. Paul's joy was not dependent on his circumstances, but upon the faithfulness of his calling and mission. It's been said that joy is the byproduct of obedience. Let me say that again. Joy is the byproduct of obedience. And Paul was obedient to the calling that God has given to him. It's encouraging. It's been encouraging to hear how our church has stepped up to bring the good news of Jesus Christ to our community. How community groups are going out of the way to bless those in need, like healthcare workers, providing encouragement cards and notes, bringing food, sending thank you cards to healthcare workers. There's so many ways that we can share the gospel with others. What are some other potential ways that we can share the good news of Jesus Christ? Perhaps at this time, reach out to a friend that we haven't seen for a while, whether it be Christian or non-Christian alike. Especially non-Christian, call them up and check up how are they doing. Perhaps we can go out for a walk around the neighborhood, connect with our neighbors more and see them, say hi, strike up conversations. We can use technology for good and not just to pass the time away. Whether it be Zoom fellowships or I like how some community groups are having study sessions together or workouts together. Start an online discovery group exploring Christianity, which Pastor David had just completed one. Host a virtual watch party for online worship services. And for those who don't know, Trudy and Daryl are hosting a Zoom gathering as they listen and watch the sermons every Sunday. They have discussion time afterwards and process the Word of God together. Maybe it could be inviting your friends to a virtual small group or community group. I know our community groups are coming to an end soon for the summer, but guess what? There is a virtual summer fellowship starting up from June 4th to August 13th, and it's going to be on Thursday evenings at 7 p.m. Perhaps you might want to record your testimony and share it on Facebook Live or Instagram Live or post it on YouTube. Or perhaps we might invite people and their kids to a vacation Bible school. There will be Vacation Bible School this year. It will be hosted live over Zoom from June 22nd to the 26th at 7 p.m. And the registration link is on the CEFC website. So please invite others. These are great opportunities to proclaim and to further the good news of Jesus Christ. Let's not forget and neglect the gospel, that it is advancing, that even more now at this time, that people need to know that there is healing. There is justice. There is comfort. There is provision. There is steadfastness. There is grace and there's forgiveness in Jesus Christ. Maybe you are the person God wants to use to share that with others. Again, let's not get caught up on so much on how, but rather to ensure that the gospel of Jesus Christ is being proclaimed and preached. Would you join with me in prayer? Gracious God, we give you thanks, Lord, for your great love. We give you thanks, Lord, that despite what is going on in our life and in this world, God, your good news continues to expand and grow. Your kingdom continues to come, Lord. God, help us to be faithful, to partner in your work and in your ministry. Help us to continue to be faithful mouthpieces and hands and feet of Jesus, going out and bringing the good news to those who need it, Lord. Open up our eyes that we might see. Open up our ears that we might hear and soften our hearts that we might have compassion for those who are spiritually dying all around us. God, we thank you. We thank you that your work continues, Lord, and we thank you that you have invited us to be part of that. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's use this time to reflect on what we heard in the sermon and respond through this worship song.